with Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Beyond the Black, and he thanks you for your subscriptions and pledges for his analysis, no more important than right now, because Elon Musk is making an announcement, and the announcement has to do with the future of space exploration, the future of manned space. Bob, a very good evening to you. What has Mr. Musk said? What do we make of it? Good evening.
Yes, I just want I'll go into that. I just have to once again thank your listeners. They were very generous during my two-week holiday fundraising campaign for Behind the Black, and I really appreciate the support. I have to say that, because people don't have to pay a dime to listen to me or read my stuff, and yet they do, and I really appreciate that. So, Musk, a little history here. SpaceX attempted its first test flight of Starship Super Heavy back in April. When it was completed, it did fail, but it failed because it was an experimental test, and that failure taught them a lot. And so they did a lot to fix up the problems afterward. And afterward, they said they hoped to get ready to launch by August. In fact, they were ready to launch the first week in September, they said. We could have launched the first week in September, they said. But in April, May, I predicted they would not launch probably till the end of the year. I said that the regulatory Biden administration and the administrative state was going to move in to slow things down, because there's many indications that Elon Musk is now considered an enemy by the Democratic Party and the left, and that's the administrative state. And so they were going to do things to make his life hard. A lot of people poo-pooed me and said I'm being paranoid, but here we are in middle of November, 2.5 months since they were ready to launch, and they still didn't have a launch license. FAA says it completed its investigation weeks after SpaceX did, which was in itself puzzling. But then Fish and Wildlife, they know everything about rockets, Fish and Wildlife. They definitely have to be in on any approvals for a rocket launch. They have to give an approval. And they haven't yet. Elon Musk, though, announced in a tweet on early this week that he has been informed that the federal government will give its blessing to SpaceX to conduct that second Super Heavy Starship test launch from Boca Chica in time for them to launch it this coming Friday, November 17th. The launch window that opened at 7 a.m. Central and lasts about 5 hours till 11 o'clock. Now, he hasn't gotten that launch approval yet, but he says he's been told he will get it. If he does, they will immediately launch. The SpaceX has been ready for 2.5 months. What's tragic about this is that everyone just assumes that the government was supposed to be able to do all this stuff, and it helps them to do all this stuff, when in truth, nobody in the federal government is qualified to have had any opinion on this matter at all. And we have something called the Constitution and Bill of Rights. I don't know if anyone remembers what that FISHRAP paper is supposed to represent, but it's supposed to forbid the federal government from interfering with Americans in such a bogus manner. But anyway, they've now tentatively, we're hearing, they're going to have a launch later this week. I want to warn everyone that if by some miracle that test launch goes perfectly, and that's not likely, it's a test launch, these government agencies are still not going to allow a quick turnaround for a third launch. They're not. They're going to do the same grind again for SpaceX. And if the more likely scenario occurs that the launch does not go perfectly, and we should expect that, it's a test launch once again, I guarantee this grind will go on even longer. There will not be another third launch for months and months and months, if not longer. And that's the real tragedy here, John. But stay tuned. By the end of this week, we will know one way or the other.
Bob, early on, there was speculation they just moved this to Kennedy. Why not move it now? Why wait?
There's a lot of technical and regulatory reasons why that can't happen. First of all, it's technical. You got a big rocket here, and all the prototypes that they want to use on the test launches are in Boca Chica. To move them all to Kennedy would be difficult. And there's more technical problems, which is the launch site that they're building at Kennedy, it's almost finished, is very close to where SpaceX launches its manned Dragon capsules. And NASA doesn't want any test launches of Starship Super Heavy to take place there, until the other launch site that SpaceX has at Kennedy is reconfigured to take manned launches as well. That second site is far enough away that it wouldn't concern them if there were test launches of Super Heavy and Starship at Kennedy. But the first one is, and they don't want the risk to lose the only launch site they've got to get American astronauts to ISS. And there's some logic to that. I will say also that there are other regulatory agencies that have jumped in and are starting to question and interfere with SpaceX, even at Kennedy, but their power is less. And so those are the reasons they don't make a move. However, I will tell you, if these regulatory constraints continue, SpaceX is going to be forced to do something. They can't develop Starship in the time necessary. They merely need it to start launching under these constraints. They have to find a way around it, and I'm not sure what it would be. Going to Kennedy is going to involve delay just to get it moved. So we'll have to wait and see.
It's a timeline that Musk has imposed on himself, right? The moon body.
Not entirely. Yes, he's imposed one timeline having to do with Starlink. He was really expecting, he has a lot of satellites he's got to get up by his FCC license by a certain date. And he was expecting to have Starlink launching to be able to put up a lot of satellites at a time. Starlink hasn't been able to launch, so what they did instead is they ramped up Falcon 9 launches to an incredible rate. I mean, that's one of the reasons they might get 100 launches this year, and they're aiming for 144 launches next year. That's from SpaceX alone. That would beat what the rest of the world has done since Sputnik on a yearly basis. It's incredible. But that's because they don't have Starlink.
They don't have the Starship.
But the other thing is the lunar lander. That's a NASA restriction. NASA gave the contract for building the manned lunar lander for its Artemis program to SpaceX with a time schedule, and NASA's time schedule. That's not Musk, and NASA's now caught by its own government administrative state. It doesn't have a lander.
And how many tests does he need from Boca Chica? What are they imagining the test schedule?
That's hard to answer, John. I mean, based on SpaceX's pattern, they really wanted to probably do a half a dozen launches. Based on the number of prototypes they built, based on what Musk was saying when he was flying regularly and expected to fly regularly, I had anticipated they expected at least a half a dozen test launches before they could consider Starlink as a possible launcher of Starlink. But to get a manned mission up, I'd say they probably need a dozen. I think the plan he had was do about a half a dozen very quickly. Towards the end of those half a dozen, start putting Starlink satellites on it so that you can actually get some productive profit out of the test launch. And then as the launches continue, you start to get reliability and get at the kinks, and you then very quickly move to operational demand state. You can start to develop Starship. But he can't do any of this because the federal government stands in his way.
We go to SpaceX Starlink in India. They got a license, and there wasn't a lot of resistance, as I recall, so that's a good thing. That's a money maker.
No, actually, John, no. I'm sorry. In 22, SpaceX started to issue Starlink terminals in India, and they got quickly shut down because apparently the management that SpaceX hired in India to do this had not gotten proper regulatory approvals. And for that reason, India government came in and said, you can't do it, you're going to have to pay fines. So they had to pull back all the terminals. And they did not have permission to do it in India. And India, you know, is a half owner of OneWeb, so it's an Indian billionaire is a half owner, so there's local reasons to favor another company. But SpaceX has now gotten a license to provide Starlink in India. So they cleared up these problems, and apparently the Indians are really have the right idea. They want competition, even if they're one of their own people owns a different company. The competition will be good for everybody. And so they've given SpaceX a license to issue in India.
Perseverance has deposited lots of samples to be scooped up by NASA and brought back to Earth, but that's called the Mars Sample Return Mission. It's very expensive, and NASA says the word pause. Is that their word, Bob?
That's their word. They announced a pause in the development of the Mars sample return mission. And the reason they did this is twofold. One, there was an independent commission about a month ago that released a report that was highly critical of this project because its budget had already doubled and it's hardly started. The configuration of the project is very complicated with NASA, three different NASA agencies, European participation, and multiple American companies, and they're all building different components that must interact perfectly. And and it's been changing continuously, so there's really questions whether this could be built for even double the amount of money budgeted, maybe triple, and it's really going to be a worse-than-web disaster, it looked like. That independent report was one reason that NASA's issued a pause, but the other is that the Senate read that report and is very unhappy with NASA and refused to appropriate the funds NASA requested for this Mars sample return mission. In addition, it said basically, you got to give us a better plan. We don't like the plan you've got. You got to rethink your plan. So NASA has taken this hard advice seriously. They've taken it seriously. So they put a pause on some of the components, not all, but some of the components being developed for the sample return mission, and they've brought in a new person to lead a team to look over the entire project and its architecture, they say, with a fresh pair of eyes, that's their words, to see how they can do it. And maybe look at other ways to implement the project, maybe outside the present plan. And whenever they say these vague words, we come back to Starship, John, because if Starship Super Heavy starts launching, it could very easily make this project much cheaper and easier to implement. Of course, we know the problems with Starship Super Heavy, as I've just described, but nonetheless, it's a factor in this. And so, yes, NASA has paused sample return. There's a lot of reluctance to allow another web disaster to occur. We already have another web disaster in the astrophysics department with the Roman Space Telescope. And so they don't really want another one to occur. There's a third reason also having to do with the Congress itself. Can they even get a budget passed? And that's a real problem, John.
We go to the European Space Agency, which has ambitions for space stations and is hiring out the building of a freighter to a space station to be determined later, if I understand. These are space stations of the future. And Bob identifies the company name. Is this it, Bob, the exploration company? Is that it?
It's more complicated than that, John, because what happened is the European Space Agency recently had a summit in which they boldly announced that they're going to adopt the NASA policy of the last decade to transition from the government building everything to hiring private companies to do it. And that decision meant that they were going to look for accept bids from multiple European companies to build a cargo freighter to provide supplies to either ISS or any one of the American private space stations that are coming, not a European one. They're working with one in particular aggressively to make it their space station, but it's still going to be American-owned. However, a journalist looked very closely at the paperwork of this new announcement. And while the initial announcement implied that many companies that had potential cargo freighters under design could compete for the contracts, the final paperwork made it impossible for any one of those other freighter companies to compete. They didn't have the cargo capacity or the return capacity to meet the specifications. In fact, the only company that could is a French company called the Exploration Company, which is developing a cargo vessel called the Nix spacecraft. And that's what's interesting. Europe might be claiming it's going capitalism and private enterprise, but if the bureaucracy is going to fix the game so that only one company can compete, we're still dealing with the government running everything, and it'll be not very successful in Europe.
If we go to Spain. High-altitude balloon companies under indictment. Why, Bob?
Yeah, this is interesting. You know, there's a whole bunch of there's two different American companies building high altitude balloons to take passengers up as part of tourism. And in the last few years, three different Spanish companies came along that wanted to do the same thing. But there was a court suit that was filed a few years ago saying that two of the companies stole the idea from the first. And now the Spanish court has ruled that those two high altitude balloon companies did steal trade secrets from the first company, and they've indicted them. And the indictment could include the court's indictment could include prison terms for these two different companies. What happened is that the first company hired some fundraisers to provide them to get them investment capital, and they used the proprietary information, those fundraisers, they stole it and gave it to new companies, totally independent, so they could raise money instead and start their own company. And that was the case, and the court has ruled that that happened and it's illegal, and those companies now are in trouble.
Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Beyond the Black. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.